Welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show, the podcast that brings you the most inspiring and thought-provoking conversations each and every week. I'm your host, Hollis Chapman, and I am thrilled to have you join us on this exhilarating journey. On this show, we delve into the minds of visionaries, change makers, and trailblazers from all walks of life, from authors, entrepreneurs to athletes, artists, activists, and even astronauts. We leave no stone unturned in our quest to inspire and empower our listeners. Our guests are not just your average run-of-the-mill celebrities. They're individuals who have overcome the odds, shattered barriers, and achieved phenomenal success. They share their secrets, successes, and even their failures so you can learn from their journeys and apply their wisdom to your own life. Whether we're diving into personal development, authors, new novels, entrepreneurship, mental health, social justice, or the latest scientific breakthroughs, our discussions are always thought-provoking, challenging conventional wisdom, and pushing the boundaries of what's possible. But it's not just the guests that make this show special, it's you, the listeners. Your engagement, questions, and comments fuel every episode. We live for the ha moments, the goosebumps, and the inspiring breakthroughs that happen when we come together as a community. So grab your headphones, get ready for a mind-expanding experience, because on the Hollis Chapman Show, we believe that everyone has a story worth telling and a dream worth pursuing. Our mission is to inspire you to take that
first. Hi, Ronald. I see you're in the listening mode. You got to finish the link, finish clicking on the link so you can get to the speakers mode. Episode
drops, ready to empower, educate, and entertain you. Join us on this magnificent adventure.
Just together, check out the link.
Let's unlock our limitless potential. Welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show.
Okay, you're still not in the speakers mode. We won't be able to hear you. I can see that you're there. All right. Look at the link. Thank you for listening. We want to be able to speak to you. You got a great topic, great book, great stories. We want to be able to hear you. I'm still looking to see if you're in the speakers mode, okay? I'm on the show live now, so you got to do your best to try to figure it out. The link, you hit the link, and it should say, hit this, okay? So you got to figure it out right there in front of you, because I'm actually doing the show right now as we speak, okay? So I can't see your screen. So hopefully you're on your cell phone. That's very important. You should download it to your cell phone. And it's on your cell phone, and that's how Podbean likes it to go. If I didn't say that in the info, I apologize. Yeah, let's try to go that way. Our special guest is waiting. He's trying to get into the speakers mode so we can get the show started. But otherwise, we're just going to sit there and talk about some stuff, okay? Again, our guest is the United States Army Sergeant. Desert Storm veteran, Boy Scout. Let me see. Okay. Podbean is talking to me here. Let me see what I can do. Again, Ronald, I'm trying to see you in the speaker mode. Otherwise, you're in the listening mode. You're typing things in. That's great. No, you're not looking for the speaker mode. I will see you in the speaker mode. Just trying to sit there and hit click on the show. But again, I may ask you questions so we can just, you know, get some great things out there. If you're typing, that's good. But are you on your cell phone? That's very important for Podbean to be on your cell phone. But again, you know, if something happened to you as a young person, especially, he was a Pop Warner football player. They won championships. Great thing, okay? And his story is like this. So you're Pop Warner, you trust people who to be in charge, and guess what? There's a dark side of what his life was all about. He played football by the afternoon in Pop Warner, and Saturday nights, he's walking the streets. Isn't that a powerful thing? 1 to 3 o'clock, 1 to 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, he's playing football, all the guys hitting, boom, rah, 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 having a great time. He had to go home and change, shower, and walk the streets. But he'll tell you more about it. But that's something you can think about for a young person. So how does it feel as a young person? You got things going on that you know shouldn't be going on, but you can't tell anybody. I can't hear you, Scott, because you're not in the speaker mode. I can only see what you're writing and see that you're in a listening mode. So I'm just talking, just trying to hope you can get that. But I know I can't hear him say, invite me, see, hit that. Ooh. Oh, there you go. All right.
Am I in?
Yeah. There you go, sir. Now you're in the speaker mode. Outstanding. Okay, don't say anything. I'm going to go back and kind of introduce you again, but just hold on to the wings, okay, sir?
Outstanding.
Okay, sir. Okay, our special guest is here today talking about his powerful story, his new book. He's a retired United States Army veteran, or sergeant, excuse me, Desert Storm veteran. I can say he's an Eagle Scout, and how, you know, all these manly things. Let me see. He also played Pop Warner football, like I said, you know, and then he has a story to tell you about what was going on at night. He went and graduated from Penn State University. He loves Penn State football. That's cool. Let's welcome to our show our special guest, Ronald Hunter. Welcome, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Hollis. I'm so sorry for the little difficulty we had getting to the speaker mode. I appreciate you having me on your show to talk about my book, Angel Finally Found His Wings. I'm ready to talk about and answer any questions you may have for me.
Give us a little bit more depth about why you wrote the book. And is your partner Scott there, your husband Scott there?
He is indeed, he is. He's been.
Hi, Scott. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Hollis. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you very much. Okay, so it's Ronald and Scott here listening and talking. And again, Ronald, first, tell us about why you wrote the book. And then Scott, you can add to it as well. So go ahead, Ronald. Tell us why you wrote the book.
Absolutely. I was fortunate enough to be on an episode that Oprah Winfrey had for 200 men who survived sexual abuse. And during that process of getting selected and being on the program for the show, in hearing people's stories and seeing their faces as they were listening to people sharing their stories, it occurred to me that many of them were still in the victimization mode of it. I don't like to say victim, the victimization mode of it, and not moving forward in their lives, even though they were adults, some of them with children, older, not moving forward to the survivor mode and taking control of the narrative of their story and what happened to them and allowing the person who victimized them or the people who failed them to still have the power over them. And that bothered me. That bothered me because I know how I feel and what has happened in my life by claiming my story and by taking the power. And I just needed and felt I wanted them to have that. I needed them to have that so that I know I was doing something positive.
Outstanding. Hey, okay, Scott, I know you're there. I want you to just kind of introduce yourself and then tell us how you supported Ronald. And before you say support, how did you and Ronald meet? So introduce yourself. Then how did you and Ronald meet? Go ahead. Start there, sir.
Sure. My name is Scott Hunter. I'm Ron's spouse. We met in September of 99 in San Francisco. We both were working there and met there. It wasn't soon after that Ron started telling me a little bit about his past. I think I was first shocked when I heard that he was the baby of the youngest of 22 children, which blew my mind. I can't imagine having a family with 21 brothers and sisters. And then the story started coming out, and he started telling me what it was like growing up in poverty in New York City. He then shared with me about his brother who had come back from Vietnam and would lock him in a closet and capture him like every day because his brother was still fighting the war, which soon led after that to him being removed out of the home, thank goodness, by Child Protective Services and being placed in a wonderful orphanage up in upstate New York. Then after that, all hell broke loose. His life fell apart when he left the orphanage to rejoin his mother who had been institutionalized with schizophrenia. But the state deemed she was well enough to come home, and he and his oldest brother, Tommy, who's number 21, went back and joined her, and his life just literally fell apart there. And that's when he met a Boy Scout leader in the neighborhood, and his mother eventually gave him away to the Boy Scout leader. And that's really where the story Angel Finally Found His Wings begins. And I'll let Ron tell that story because he is such a hero in my eyes. You asked how I support him. I will do anything in the world to help him. I see the struggle every single day. But when he talks about the story, he gets better and better every single day because he loves being an advocate for those who have not found the voice, who are still ashamed to talk about it, who are scared to talk about it. He wants to be that example. And I admire that so much. Over the 20 some years we've been together, he is proud of what he has achieved in life. He is not ashamed. And to be around someone like that just makes me a better person. And I love him more and more every day. As I say, I love seeing him soar now with his wings, because he does have the wings to soar and be an example for everyone.
Scott, thank you so much for sharing that. I can feel the emotion there. And Ronald, we got to say, listeners to you, that, you know, bravo, you're still here and you're so positive now. So bravo to that, sir, because your story needs to be told. Your story, like you said, can help others. And we let me like Scott, 22 brothers and sisters. Holy smokes. That's I have problems keeping up my birthdays with my four brothers and sisters. I don't know how he did it with 22, but that's a whole other show right there. So good for you. All right. So you talk about support. In the book, you discuss the power of forgiveness. So you've gone through so much stuff and you see so much stuff. Like I said again, you played Pop Warner football, you're in the military. How did you get to the point where forgiveness and finding peace help you get to where you are now?
I know the first thing that I had to do was to forgive myself. I had to stop blaming myself and thinking I was deserving of it, that I was contributed to it, that I was just... it's hard for me to say that, but that's what it was. I had to say that this was not my responsibility or my fault, and that once I was able to do that and put myself in a headspace that said, okay, I can fight back, and the first way I can fight back is by forgiving myself, getting help with it so I can understand it, and then start by forgiving the actions or the actions that were done toward me or the behaviors that were done directed to me. And I began that process.
Yeah.
And I knew I had to survive. I had to survive.
You know, it's just reading your story, reading some of your bio stuff, you know, let the listeners know. At a young age, Ronald was forced into prostitution. That blows my mind there. But as you will probably talk about, there's a lot of it out there that we don't see. It's a lot of it behind scenes. But you're coming forward. This helps you overcome that. But talk about that. You worked. You did Pop Warner football games. We won at 4 on a Saturday afternoon. And all of a sudden, now you had to go on the streets. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, but the Pop Warner football was something that his name was Charlie, the person who pimped me. He knew that I loved football, so that was one of the ways he could get a kind of sense of a hold on me to get me involved in it. And one of the neighbor's kids was in Pop Warner football and was on the team, the Garrity Knights from Glendale, and I wanted to play. So we found out the information, and Charlie took me to the place where the kid said that they were playing, and he registered me. He got me involved in it, but he passed himself off as though he were my father, my dad. And that gave the credibility and the cover of his involvement with me.
Oh, I tell you, you know, did at that point in time, did you go home to your parents or your mom, or did you go start? So you go start live with Charlie. Is that what it was? Ronald, you there? Did I lose him? Oh, there we go. You were back, Ron. Shoot.
Place where he lived with his brother and sister-in-law. And I stayed there most of the time. I'd come in and see her, especially on the special days. And he'd always make sure I was dressed well, and I'd bring flowers, you know, and things like that. So it looked like I was happy, and he'd present it that way. And then he'd always be very slick about it, and he'd always leave her some money on the side, because we were poor. We were living on welfare, and money was hard to come by for her, especially in her condition. So he would do those kinds of things, and that just made her feel so happy that her baby, as we say, her baby Rey, was being taken care of, and she didn't have to worry about him and all the things that were going on with gangs and things. So that's how he won her over.
Hey, Scott, question for you. What role did you in your journey and Ron's journey towards healing and letting go of the past traumas? What part of that did you help Ron with? You know, do you guys have a weekly session? You've talked about that. How do you help him let go of the past? Because I know it's going to be just like AA. You're never out of AA. But talking about it, feeling better, writing a book, how did you help with that, Scott?
Everybody had heard his story. Hollis said, you need to write a book. And they wanted him to write the book so that people would understand they're not alone. And, you know, with abuse, it's a very lonely, scary, dark place that most, and I love the word survivors, go to. And I kept encouraging him, tell your story. Everybody wants to hear it. 15 years ago, we decided to sit down after Oprah. He came back and he said, I've got to help these other people. I made it. I want them to. So I tried to figure out my role, and it changed a lot, Hollis. As he worked through the different emotions, as he worked through his parts of his different parts of recovery and stuff, I just would try to find each and every day the different ways to support him. There was not one single role that I play and continue to play. There are probably hundreds. I will tell you that rarely does a night go by, last night being one, that he doesn't have nightmares and screams. And I have to wake him, hold him, turn lights on to let him know he's safe. He is okay. And allow that little boy that's still inside hurting and screaming to cry, scream, box, fight. He doesn't even realize it, but he's running in his sleep, trying to get away from him. And so we spend some time in the middle of the night when he wakes up, just letting him catch his breath, letting him realize he's in a safe environment. So my role changes every single day. But there are things that are common. But the main thing is to know that I will never leave him. I don't care how bad it gets, how sad he can be, how happy he can be. I'm always here because everybody in his life abandoned him. I will not till my last breath. And I remind him that every single day.
That's beautiful, Scott. Hey, Ronald, at this time, please tell us the title of your book. And then I want you to talk about the cover of your book. I think it's beautiful. And where do we go after the show to get your book? Where do we go? Talk to us about that.
Angel Finally Found His Wings is my story. The title comes from the fact that Angel was the name that I was using while I was on the street. That's how it'd be identified. The cover of the book actually is the picture of me when it began, the early part of when it began. And the reason that picture, I was able to find it because when I ran with just what was on my back to get away from Charlie, he destroyed everything after all the threats and the blackmailing and the, you know, violence. He destroyed everything to punish me. And so I had nothing. I had no pictures, none of all my football pictures, my trophies, everything, my Eagle Scout stuff, all of it. And I was asked to be on the Oprah special. And what she wanted was to open up. I don't know if you ever saw that, 200 Men. It opens in silence, which she had never done. And in that silence, the camera pans around the audience, and all you see is the audience members holding a picture of themselves as they requested of when it began. And that's the picture that I had when I was on the Oprah show doing that. It's the only picture I had. And I found it the night before I left to go to Chicago. The name of the title finally came from a concert that Scott and I and some friends were at and featured. It was Winona Judd, and yep. she had featured Martina McBride on it. And Martina McBride was Angel with a Broken Wing. And when she started it and she was talking about it, and then she started to sing it, Scott and I were sitting right next to each other, and immediately we turned our heads and said, that's the title of the book. Angel finally found his wings. And then that's where it went from there. And we got home from the concert and immediately went to the computer and started putting in it. And that's where it started again. And that gave me another sense of strength, courage, and I was able to move forward with it. And the way our friend, Shane, did the cover for us in her work, we had the picture, and one of the things I said was that my life has always been torn. It's always been no smooth lines in my life, edges, rough edges. And I had that picture, and that picture alone was taken by one of the persons in the book named James. Of course, that's not his real name, but James was a photographer as well, and he took many pictures of us. And that's the picture I was able to find.
Beautiful. I got to tell the listeners, if you look at the picture, because I think it's wonderful, great picture of you smiling, you never know the trauma you're going through. You never knew that. That's just, it's amazing. You never sit there, you know, you tell your story, and a person looks at that book cover, they're going, really? I would never known by the picture that I'm looking at. Yeah. So that's a powerful thing. It really is.
Thank you.
What lessons, Ron, did you learn about the importance of self-love and self-compassion throughout your journey? I know you got Scott there. I know Scott helps out, but you're talking to others now who may not have a Scott in their life. So how does self-love and self-compassion help through this stuff?
Well, I will say if I had not been able to do and to come to that point in my life, I would not have a Scott in my life. I gave life, love, trust, another chance, and applied the thinking that not everybody has done this to me or will do this to me or anybody. Those people that did it, I will hold accountable and responsible, but I will not put that on every single human being. And that's what helped me survive through all of it, was I focused on the ones who were kind, caring, supportive, loving, you know, and trustworthy. And that kept me saying, this is what I have to focus on, because in focusing on the ones who did the harm to me and violated me in all those different ways was going to kill me if I did that. And I couldn't do that if I wanted to be a survivor.
Beautiful. Hey, Scott. I want you to sit there and speak like you're speaking to other potential partners in relationships. Because I know, now we all know the stories, a lot of stories where people just can't take it. They leave, they lose their partner. But as a supportive partner, how do you navigate the challenges of being a source of strength and support for Ron? How did you do that? What was your, when he went to bed, did you sit there and maybe close your eyes and pray a little bit? Did you sit there and where did you find your strength, Scott?
Well, we both share our incredible belief in God and the power that he gives us every single day and the strength he gives us, because without him, Ron could not have survived it. And I wouldn't be here today. I will tell you that. You begin with listening, and you want to create an environment and a world that says you're safe to share anything with me. I will not judge you. I will not react or give comment until you want me to. And that was hard for me because I have a response for everything in the world. But I had to, my tongue, I think I had to get it stitched 50 times because I just wanted to lash out, especially at the people who did it to him. But I just had to listen and be patient with him. It's every day. Touch is huge. He didn't have, his mother rejected him when he was young. She pushed him away. And the people that did touch him did it for money. They were paying for it. And I had to, I helped him understand that touch is a wonderful thing. A hug is a wonderful thing. One of the things I've learned in life is I look into his eyes and just let him talk to me. For those out there that don't have somebody, there is someone willing to listen, and you don't have to pay for it. There are support groups that are safe, that allow you to talk, that don't judge you, who do not pass on opinions or counsel you. They just provide an environment, very much like an AA environment, that allows people to just talk. Because with talking, the pain starts to subside a little bit, and the comfort of telling you more and more and more. And when he starts, let him go. Let him go. And it could go on sometimes for 5 minutes or 5 hours. I just let him go.
Beautiful. Hey, Ron, real quickly, I know years ago we used to see Boy Scout commercials on all the time, recruiting new Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts, so proud. Ever since the judgment went out, ever since the lawsuits went out, has the Boy Scout kind of fell to the wayside? Or what's going on now? We don't hear much about it anymore. The lawsuit, Boy Scout recruitment is not, I don't hear much about Boy Scout recruitment at all. What's your thoughts on the Boy Scouts now?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on it. Unfortunately, because we're in litigation,
okay,
yeah. I cannot discuss anything. And that's really all I can say. I wish I could, Hollis.
I understand. Okay, no worries. We'll move on. Okay, so Ronald, can you share any stories or moments from your journey that didn't make it into the books? Is there a powerful story you want to share with us that's not in your book?
Wow. Where do I begin?
Yeah.
Let's see. And so much, we've written so much. What you have in the book is a part of what was written. Sometimes I start talking to people about it and say, I didn't see that in the book. Oh, yeah. I didn't realize because we had to edit down. Wow.
May I jump in?
Yeah, please.
So Hollis, we get that question every single day when we do these interviews and stuff. The question is what happened to this person? What happened to that? What happened to this? Know that there is a second book in the works. Mm-hmm. And the reason there's a second book is the first book was over 600 pages. Our editors felt that it was just too much to give the reader all at one time. So we broke it up. So you have from birth to age 23 in the first book, and then we pick up. And that second book, will give you a little hint here to your viewers or your listeners, is more on how did he survive? How did he get through it? How is he today? So that's what, you know, you say what's missing. That's really what's missing, because we kind of take you up to the army and we kind of stop you.
And also the pitfalls of allowing some of the horrors, I'll say, to creep back in without getting help.
Yeah.
And it took me down dark roads when I wasn't enough in terms of, I needed professional support and help and guidance to understand what I was feeling. Because it would try and slip back in and make me go in a different direction. It took me into alcohol abuse to ease my pain and my anger and my resentment for things that happened to me. And also it took me into drug abuse after the passing of James, which took me down another, because he was like Scott in that same promise of never abandoning me. And he never did until the day he died. And that destroyed me and sent me in the darkest place I had ever gone in my life.
Outstanding. Hey, Ronald, first, thank you for your service. I was in the Navy, so thank you for your service. Yeah, so very much. Okay, so as you say, though, serving in the U.S. Army as a staff sergeant in Desert Storm may have saved your life. Give us a little tidbit about that.
Well, the reason it saved the reason I feel it did was it gave me, first of all, joining the Army put me back on the right track of finding my direction. In the process of becoming a soldier, the transitioning, you know, there's a transitioning from a civilian to a soldier. I began to find out that I was worthy, I was capable, I was equal, and that I was missing some things. I belonged and I was deserving of this. And it gave me a sense of confidence again. It helped to build my self-esteem. It gave me examples of my ability to be a leader. And not just on myself, but for other people to help guide them, because I had experiences that they hadn't had. It also, when we went and in my development, I became a supporter, not of my troops as a sergeant, but as a mentor of an adult or someone they can come to and talk to outside of the sergeant. And I love that. And I got a lot of respect for my soldiers who always commented about before me, before they were stationed in my, you know, to the unit we were on, they never learned anything. They were just told what to do. Yeah. I focused on them learning what they were doing and how to do it. And in the process, should I not be there, they continue on. It doesn't end with me gone. You have the tools and the ability and the knowledge to go forward and continue the mission.
Beautiful. Hey, Ronald and Scott, just real quick. I am talking with a young lady. She was into drugs, prostitution, all that kind of stuff. She had two children who just owned her. She lost her family. She lost everything. And I'm trying to talk to her about going to groups. She says, Hollis, I'm too embarrassed to go. She goes, I have days where I'm so depressed and this and that. I mean, she's working. She's doing things. She's making, you know, she's really doing some good things for herself. But her past is just haunting her. I go, why don't you go talk to this group? I'm too embarrassed, Hollis. I don't want to go. I'm too embarrassed. I think they're going to pick this, poke fun at me, stuff like that. And she's hurting that way. What do you say to people who are afraid, too hurt, to go to groups to talk to people?
The first thing, I had to learn this too. I had those same kinds of feelings, and that's why I lingered on the outside of the halls. But everyone who is there for the same reason, similar experiences, and the same kinds of fears. The first thing she has to do is go in. You don't have to talk. You can just sit and listen. And in the listening I found, I connected with people, and I went, oh, I thought that was only me, you know, and that's what she should do or needs to do. Or I don't want to tell her that you must do this. No, you have to find it when you are ready to do it, but it will help. And listening is the first thing she should do there. Don't need to talk. And they may ask if she has anything to say. She says, I'm just going to listen right now and, you know, get my comfortability with the groups. Yeah. One of the things I will say, and I offer this to people, you know, she can call me.
Yeah.
If she is willing to, she can contact me at angelfinallyfoundhiswings.com. Okay. She can call me privately on my email. I'll give you my email address.
It's on there.
It's on Angel Finally Found His Wings, as a matter of fact. So, okay. Yeah, and I would be happy just to listen to her and then share my story with her personally and make her feel comfortable about her and let her know that she is the one who is in power of her story. And what the people who moved away from her, they just don't know how to deal with it because it is a horrible thing. But in her strength and in getting that confidence and courage and taking that power back, they will then see that. And that's the first thing they're going to react to is, wow. She had all that happen to her. My mom is that strong. Wow. And then no one will listen. So,
you know, Hollis, everybody in the world has a story.
Everybody.
Yeah.
It's just painted differently.
That's it.
And never be ashamed of your story because it is what it is. And we are who we are. Please tell her, don't be ashamed.
No.
Do not be ashamed. There is so much love and understanding and hope for her waiting out there. She will be smothered with it when she's ready for it. And please don't let another day go by. Tell her find a safe place to go and talk. And Ron said, I've been to many, many, many support groups where the vast majority just sit and listen. Over time, guess what? One starts talking to the other one. Mm. You see a physical change in these people. You see everything change in them once they get – they take that first step. And I think, that's what she should seriously consider.
Yeah, I would definitely refer that information to her. But what I'm seeing right now, she's her follow-up is horrible. I've given her stuff before, and she doesn't follow up. I'm going, why don't you follow up? I mean, I have her trying to call me. I go, just call me. She won't. Nice. And I'll see her 2 days later. Oh, something came. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. But I'm going to pass on the information to her because, again, she's a wonderful young lady. And I'm so proud of her because she's come where she's been Absolutely. And where she's at now is outstanding. And I'm thinking, hey, I'm doing something, because she doesn't know me for like a month. And she's telling me her whole story. You know, this lady is talking to me. And trust me, I'll listen. You know, she's a prostitute, two kids who disowned her, husband divorced her, this and that. She's on her own and stuff like that. So it's like, I listen. And yeah. I think she likes it because I listen without judgment. And that's she likes exactly. it. So I'll definitely pass that information on, but the follow up. So if you don't hear anything soon, Hollis is still trying to get her to follow up.
No problem. And I'll be looking forward to talking with her, or actually listening to her share her story. And I can, that's going to be her strength to claim it, you know, and, yeah. and have the, take the control of it. Gosh, that's who I want to reach out to and hopefully empower through my advocacy. Because there's so many of us, so many who are inside. Hey,
Scott, I want to ask you this. I'm doing stuff where I help people get on television and stuff, you know, the Hulus and stuff like that. This is a powerful story. Needs to be seen just as long as heard. Have you guys talked to anybody yet about putting this story, your book, on streaming channels?
I will let Scott answer that.
We are working with an incredible publicist for Angel Finally Found His Wings. We're looking at all different kinds of things. We firmly believe that the more that it gets out there, whether it's some type of streaming, it's a movie or whatever, it's going to help people. You will find that it's hard to do. You have to have a lot of connections and get in with the right people. Of course, money drives all decisions in a lot of different things, and you have to be careful. So we are working with a group, and we'll see where it leads us right now. But we're very cautious, because as we move forward, we want to make sure that it's always presented in a very positive, kind, gentle way. Loving because you. Of the sensitivity of this and the emotions around people who hear this story.
Right, and I don't do gratuitous stuff.
No.
That's unacceptable to me.
Okay, guys, in closing, what do you hope readers will take away from your book? So, Ronald, you say it first, and Scott, you go ahead in closing.
Well, I hope that they find in reading it, they are able to see the trust and the hope that is capable of being had, keeping your faith, and that faith will. Faith in yourself and faith in humanity and people will help them to get to the point that I am today. I just hope they can see that there is a life. We're not broken. We're not, tarnished in any way, and that we can have a full and happy, loving, trustful, faithful life. But we have to commit to it, as that young lady will discover when she makes that first step.
Right. Scott, close it out for us, Scott.
Yeah, we didn't answer a question a minute ago, Hollison. I'll be real fast. You asked where the book can be found, and it can be found all over the place, but mainly Amazon. Angel Finally Found Out His Wings by Ronald Hunter on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. There's many, many places to purchase it. It's available as a Kindle, it's paperback, and it's also in a hard copy. So that's where it is. Audiobook is real close to being finished. I think from a supporter side is never judge or never say, wow, I sure had it a lot better than you. I never compare my life to Ron's because they're so different, because I'm trying to still understand him. Listening is the trick. Listening, support, and a lot of hugs.
Beautiful. Ronald, Scott, thank you so much for doing this today. Your story is powerful and great. You guys, wonderful. Thank you. We're going to promote you all our social media stuff. We're going to promote you all over the place because they need to get out there. Thank you guys very much for joining us today. We appreciate it so much. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right, sir. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
That's a great story there, guys. Great, great story. We need to follow up. We need to get the word out there, because just like I was telling about a friend of mine, she's just so afraid, so scared to talk about her story. You know, but to me, as I see her, if she never told me what she did in her past, I would never known that. You know, Ronald and Scott, because of their strength together, they open up. They go to their meetings. They do it. They talk about it because they know opening up will help others. And that's a great thing. You know, we want to help these young ladies. I don't want to sit there and get the news and say, Hollis, she went back to her old ways. I don't want to hear that story. Hollis, she didn't make it. You know, we need to get her in touch with Ronald and Scott. Boom. Because you never, if you didn't hear it from Ronald and Scott, you never know where he came from. You never know the negativity he grew up with. So if you don't say it, you know that, hey, that's okay. Like you said, it is what it is. The past is the past. You know, I love seeing her smile. But before, you never knew that. You know, she's telling me she's hiding in bushes. She went to jail, stealing, all that kind of stuff. Ronald went all, you know, he is so much over that now. He's an author of a great book that needs to help other people. I want you guys to follow up with Ronald. Okay. This is our standing ovation for Ronald Scott for joining us today. Hey, guys. Hey, got to tell you, today's Friday and next Friday, the Hollis Chapman Show is going to be on our cruise ship. We're taking our cruise. We're bringing the show on the cruise, okay? So we won't do anything live. I will just try to record because I don't know how the internet's going to be out in the ocean. But again, we'll let you know. We're going to post a lot of stuff, take a lot of pictures. I got my drones and ready to go. We do have a show on Tuesday, and then that will be it. We're going to hit the road. So we're excited for that. Thanks for joining us today. And make sure you follow up with Ronald and Scott Hunter. Get their books, okay? Let's close it out with some music a little bit. If I can find it. There we go. Thank you everyone for joining us today. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Back on Tuesday to find the show where we will be in studio. It's Friday. We will be on. Great weekend, everybody. As always, see you.